University of Colorado.
I want to thank everyone for joining us for our first telephone town hall hosted by the CU Advocates Program in the Office of the President. And we have the two candidates with us who will introduce themselves in their opening statements, but we have Heidi Ganahl and Alice Madden. And I want to thank all of those who registered and submitted questions. We received over 40 questions, and we will do our best to get through all those questions in the time allotted. We are recording this telephone town hall, and we will be posting this recording on the CU Advocates Facebook page and the CU Advocates website. You can find both by Googling CU Advocates. So each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to the questions. They will have an opening statement, which will involve three questions we would like them to address, and then they will have closing comments, which will be up to them to talk about what they feel like they would like to get across to everyone. The participants who are calling in are muted. The only people who are able to be heard are the two candidates and myself. I'm the Assistant Vice President of Advocacy and External Relations for the University of Colorado System. And I have my trusted student intern, Johnny Nguyen, who's a CU Denver student. He's a junior studying political science and minoring in Spanish. So I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to start with the opening statement questions. And the first one will be going to Alice Madden. So here are the three questions we would like you to address. Why are you running for regent, and what in your qualifications do you believe makes you the best candidate to oversee the policy considerations of the four-campus system? Please explain your relationship with the university prior to running for CU regent. And lastly, how will your presence as a regent have made a difference for the state of Colorado because you served? Alice?
First of all, thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Johnny. And thank you, Heidi, for running. I know running for office is sometimes like entering the twilight zone. So I appreciate the fact that you are doing this. So this is something that I've thought about doing for a long, long time. I see you as played a pivotal role in my entire life. I want to give back to the university, the people it serves, and the people it employs. I received my bachelor's in psychology from CU. I received my law degree from CU. I've worked at CU Denver and Colorado Law over the years. When I graduated with my psychology degree, I knew I wanted to go to law school, and I worked in high tech for about 4 years, technical writer, technical trainer, and then I went to law school. I ended up practicing law for about 9 years, but when I had kids, I knew I really wanted to do something different and give back to the community.
Becoming a parent changes your view of the world, and I wanted to give.
Alice, you're cutting out. Heidi, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. Heidi, since you're on, I know this is a bit, we're kind of playing along with our technology issues. Can you, could you address those three questions of why you're running for regent, your qualifications that make you a best candidate, your relationship with the university prior to running for CU regent, and what kind of impact do you think you will have serving as regent?
Sure. Well, thanks so much for doing this, you guys. I'm really excited to talk about the regent race and why we're both doing it. I know we're both coming from a place of heart, and we love CU, and I'm just excited to have the opportunity to share my vision with everybody. So I believe education is key to keeping the American dream alive, and I've been blessed to live that American dream, being able to build Camp Bow Wow, which is the country's largest pet care franchise. I'm running for CU Regent because I want our kids to have the same opportunity that I did to unleash their own American dream. I'm a successful entrepreneur. I'm not a career politician, but I know finance and I know operations and human resources and legal issues. I know how to drive revenue and create efficiency and lead lots of different parties to one united vision. I've recently stepped out of my day-to-day operations of running Camp Bow Wow so that I could put all of my energy and focus into leading CU forward if I'm elected. And I'll commit to working full-time on doing that. I'm a proud graduate of the CU Boulder Business School, and I also have my master's from DU, and I've stayed involved with CU since I left. I started out guest teaching on entrepreneurship and marketing and leadership at CU Boulder, and I then joined Leeds Business School Board and later helped launch the Center for Education on Social Responsibility, or we call it CSER, at Leeds. And I was a board member there for many years. I've been part of the Women's Council and Entrepreneurs Unplugged at the law school, and I've been a mentor in the PMP program for many years. I'm a donor to the CPAW program at CU Anschutz Nursing School, and that's helping veterans recover from PTSD with trained service dogs. I currently serve on the board of directors for the CU Foundation, which oversees the endowment, and I was selected to lead the trustee engagement committee. I truly love CU, and nothing would make me happier than doing all I can to help lead CU forward in tackling the cost of college, getting graduates great jobs, building a diverse student and faculty, and protecting academic freedom.
Great. Under 2 minutes. Very good. Did Alice join us again?
I did. Sorry about that. I ended up calling back from my cell phone, which I think for amazing reasons perhaps will work better than the landline. So I'm sorry about that. I think I dropped off when I was saying that I practiced law for 9 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, you kind of faded out about that point. So you want to pick up?
Okay.
We'll give
sorry
you
about that.
We'll give you a minute. Okay.
When I was in the legislature, I actually represented the Boulder campus, and really got steeped in higher education issues. And it was a tough time to just represent higher ed because we started cutting funding at that time after 9/11. So I became really engrossed in what it meant to a university and a college system across the state to have to do more with less. I've also run my own business. I was Bill Ritter's climate change advisor. I held a chair at University of Colorado Denver, the Timothy Worth Chair. I worked in the Obama administration. I worked with businesses, mayors, governors on the president's clean climate plan. And I ran my own business last year doing consulting with emerging technologies, helping clean technologies advance. And since July, I have been heading the center at the CU Law School on natural resources, energy, and the environment. And I really want to do this for one of the main reasons is to end this backbreaking debt that's facing our young people. It's a non-sustainable position for our entire society to do this to a whole generation. Colorado's ranked 48th now in state support, and that just has to change. State support is no panacea, of course, but we have to seek many, many other solutions. But given my broad back experience, I think I can do that. I have bipartisan support from people I served with, and they will say, for many reasons, one is that I don't lose my sense of humor, and I have a very good ear and always listen empathetically to try to understand where everyone's coming from, because we're all in this together.
Great.
I don't believe in shoving something down someone's throat because it's just not sustainable. You have to work together to form a solution.
Okay. Thank you. And we will be addressing some of your answers. We'll address some of the questions as we go along, so we may skip a few because they've already been discussed. And I'm going to hand it over to Johnny Nguyen, who will be asking the other questions.
Awesome. Thank you for the introduction. And so we're going to start some questions that were posed by the registrants. And so just quickly, the question is, what are the most important things you think the university has done well, and what are some of the most important things you believe the university could do better on?
And Heidi, that question is to you.
Okay, great. Well, the more I learn about CU and how important it is to the community, I just am so impressed with the things they're doing there. CU has shattered records this year in enrollment and donations and research funding. Administrative expenses are 28% below its peers. And they just launched the new really innovative four-year tuition freeze at CU Boulder. I also just noticed that CU was named one of the top 100 innovative universities by Reuters, which is very cool, based on the number of Nobel laureates we have and MacArthur Fellows and astronauts. CU Anschutz is one of the top healthcare systems in the country, UCCS with its cybersecurity focus, and CU Denver is leading the way on diversity with 58% of incoming freshmen this year were students of color. That's fantastic. And the list goes on and on, but the CU of the 90s with its scandals and distractions is long gone, and I think that's due to President Bruce Benson, a very talented faculty, and good leadership by the CU Regent Board and all the administrators there, and I want to keep that momentum going. And I think what we can do better is just making sure that parents and students are getting the very best value possible for their tuition dollar. We need to work to make college much more affordable and make sure that when students graduate, they have the tools they need to get a great job. I think CU should lead the way in finding new ways to fund our universities. We all know that state support is dwindling, and I want to bring a sense of innovation and a new set of eyes and perspective to how we fund our university going forward. I also think that we need to continue to cultivate a diverse group of faculty and students and focus on keeping our college campuses safe, whether it's campus sexual assault or the violence we saw at CU Boulder a couple weeks ago. And finally, I'm focused on making sure freedom of speech and academic freedom stays alive and well at CU. I really think we need to keep feisty collaborative debate, and we need to teach students how to think for themselves.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. And so now we're going to transition to Alice. And again, the question is, what are the most important things the university is doing well, and what could the university improve on?
Thank you. I think Heidi hit a lot of our top points, and they are many, and it's so exciting to hear that list of amazing things that's going on. One additional thing I'll just mention, because it's pretty cool, we received more grant money for our partnership with NASA than any other public university in the entire country. So we really are excelling. And the number of Nobel laureates we have, the MacArthur Genius recipients that have, I mean, I know that both Javi and I are so proud to be involved with this university. One of my big issues is diversity and lack of retention among our underrepresented students. A couple of good things have been happening around that, and I think we can do more of that. One is pre-collegiate programs where you get at-risk students, first-generation students on campus, so they have built a community, they don't feel so uncomfortable their first semester. We lose a lot of students after that first semester. And even something CU Boulder did that's really exciting, they're creating 32 small groups with a faculty member. So just think about that. If you have, like, you know, 16 to 20 people in a small group with an actual professor that you knew on first name basis when you were 18 years old coming into college. And those have been proven to work. But we need to scale up programs like that. Heidi mentioned the great improvement in diversity, particularly on the Denver campus. Unfortunately, our graduation at CU Denver is only at 40%. So in some ways, you're almost doing a disservice if you bring someone to this college and say, you know, we want you here, but you don't help them to that finish line. So that number has to be reviewed. And again, there's a lot of programs that work, things like targeted counseling, making sure you are keeping track of people who have switched their majors so they're not adding on to their tuition, things like that.
Okay.
So I think we're on a good track, but there's certainly more we can do.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is, what are the top three issues facing the university, and how does your experience prepare you to resolve these issues? And let's start with you, Alice.
I'd say the top issues, which are no surprise, really affordability tied in with student loan debt and housing, particularly in Boulder and Denver. And that affects real accessibility. We have over 30% minority population in Colorado. Our numbers on our campuses, certainly in student body, faculty, and staff, are nowhere near that. I think that's incredibly important. And also being accountable to the taxpayers and making sure, and to the parents and to the students, to make sure that they get a good return on their investment. So as I mentioned before, I was in the legislature as the majority leader in the legislature for 4 years. I helped build that state budget, of course, balanced budget, and saw exactly how the Commission on Higher Education divvies up state dollars among our universities. So understanding that process is extremely important. I've done fundraising for the university, and my entire career, I've always worked with women and minority populations on professional development, particularly around STEM studies, helping students maintain those majors. Unfortunately, our minority students leave those majors at a much higher rate than their Caucasian peers. So again, not reinventing the wheel, but scaling up good programs that are proven to work, I think would really help.
Great, thank you.
So now we're switching over to Heidi. And again, the question is, what are the top three issues facing the university, and how does your experience prepare you to resolve these issues? Go ahead, Heidi.
Thanks, Johnny. Well, my top priorities, if elected, are how to fund CU going forward, considering the lack of state funding, and how do we keep the cost of tuition, fees, room and board affordable for students, and how do we help our graduates get great jobs when they leave CU? As I travel around the state, that's one of the biggest issues I hear from parents and students alike, is how do I make sure my student gets a great, invest all this money into a degree? So my experience building a $100 million brand with thousands of employees, I learned how to drive finance and operations and customer experience. And my experience is in finding efficiencies and new revenue sources and hire great leaders. I mean, I think that'll be key in helping CU. I'm also the mom of four, ranging in age from 4 to 21, believe it or not. But one is a college senior at University of Oregon. And I pay those tuition bills, and I see the struggle with getting good counseling on what classes to take, and then dealing with the fallout of the classes not being available. And I hear firsthand about the drugs and the alcohol issues on our campuses, and her friends at CU Boulder tell me the same thing. Tori's the president of Panhellenic, and together we've been working on tackling sexual assault and bullying kind of hand in hand. Her at University of Oregon and me with my charity that I started, Moms Fight Back, which one of our key focuses is tackling sexual assault. Also, building a franchise company means bringing together a couple hundred people to collaborate on one vision, and they have very different opinions, especially dog lovers. And we did that to the tune of a $100 million brand in the country's largest pet care franchise. These are qualities that we need for an effective regent and running the third largest employer in the state, which is CU. I also built a charity connected to Camp Bow Wow called the Bow Wow Buddies Foundation that rescued and found homes for over 10,000 dogs. I know how to fundraise, how to align giving back and keeping businesses healthy at the same time, and I hope to bring that same skill set to CU.
Great. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you very much. And so our next question is, with the position of the regent being a volunteer elected office, please explain how you will devote your time to serve as regent while balancing your day jobs. And let's start with you, Heidi.
Sure. Well, I'm fortunate enough that I stepped down from CEO or the day-to-day operations of Camp Bow Wow a few months ago. I'm still involved, but I have the title founder, so I get to do the fun stuff like hanging out with dogs. And I'm in the position that I can devote myself full-time to this position if I'm elected. My other board positions are not time-intensive, and they allow me to have the freedom to give 100% to my role as CU regent. So I'm excited to do that.
Okay, great. Alice, would you like to respond?
Sure. So I've served on numerous boards, some very intensive over my entire career, and you've certainly just learned that life balance. But I want to mention that Colorado has a history of supporting diverse types of people in public service on our boards, commissions. We even have what we call a citizens legislature. We want working people to bring their experience to the table. You don't want just retired or only super wealthy people who don't have to work to be able to do these types of positions. And you know, as a working parent, and Heidi knows this too, you learn all about balance. I was a litigator with two little toddlers at home and served at a nonprofit board at that time. When I was elected to the state house, my kids were 6 and 8, and I was a very successful legislator. I even kept coaching soccer those first few years. When I became majority leader, we really had to help drive the agenda and learning how to balance and talk to a variety of people and making sure that they are heard is something I feel like I can do very, very well. I worked in D.C. for almost 2 years and was part of a very hands-on board to build a school in Tanzania that was located in Denver. So I've done this over the years. Our kids are off in college now, so I don't have that parenting time that you know, really can take up a lot of your life. I'm happy that they are now launched. But I think the busier you are, the more organized you become, and when you love what you do, it's even easier.
Great. So I'm going to take over a few questions here for a little variety. So how does your vision for the University of Colorado involve support from the state, financial or otherwise? And Alice will lead with you.
So as I mentioned before, we have slipped to 48th in the nation in state support. I view that a state budget is actually a moral document. It reflects your values. And I don't think being 48th in the country reflects the values of the Colorado people. Over the last 16 years, we've cut our state support in half, and tuition has doubled. There's a direct correlation. I was really disappointed that this Board of Regents would not support a resolution to pass a bipartisan bill that would have freed up $700 million into the general fund. And I know how the budget is funded, and that $700 million would have gone to transportation, K-12, and higher ed. Higher ed is the first place that we cut, so that $700 million would have absolutely helped. But, you know, this is no magic bullet. So we need to do far more than state funding. And as Heidi mentioned before, we are already doing an amazing job of fundraising, so we have to be more creative. I think we have to have public-private partnerships identify certain problems and get private partners to help us. For example, the pre-collegiate programs I mentioned that are so successful, one of the reasons we can't scale them up is it's expensive to put these students in the dorm. That is a perfect opportunity to find donors who would do that. So I think there's lots of things we can improve upon, but frankly, I think it's a matter of principle that the Board of Regents should be down at the state capitol advocating. And here's why that matters to the whole state. When I traveled around the whole state, I talked to people who represented and were on boards of smaller colleges, and they described CU as the big gorilla not in the room. They said, you all can double your salary, double your tuition, you get all these big grants. We don't. We need state funding. And when you're not fighting for it, the entire state suffers.
Interesting. Thank you. Heidi, how does your vision for the University of Colorado involve support from the state, financial or otherwise?
Thanks, Michelle. Well, I'd certainly continue to work to build relationships with the state legislature in order to maximize state funding. I do think they are doing that, and they made some strategic decisions about whether they would endorse or not endorse the issue around the Tabor thing. But I'll work to continue the momentum that we have. I love that we're breaking records the last few years on fundraising and bringing in donations and building relationships with alumni and our community to fund CU. And I think that's gonna stay very, very important going forward and make up for a lot of the lack of state funding. I'll also work to build bridges between businesses and our university and communities across the state. As I've traveled around, I've heard about some great partnerships, whether it's at Mesa with the engineering program or CU Anschutz out in the community with the health centers. Well, this will create jobs and it will bring research dollars to CU, which is also very important. And I'd like to also coordinate with the student government leaders to use our student fees more efficiently. That's a huge budget at CU Boulder. I think it's like $24 million. And we can drive those costs down as well, I believe. I'd also like to work to leverage technology on campus to drive down costs for students and make it easier for students in rural areas to have access to classes at CU. And push to make transfer credits easier to come across the lines with community colleges and high schools so that the credits can come and go into CU. I think that's very important. And finally, I think we should continue to make sure that students and parents are getting the very best dollar or best possible value for their tuition dollar. CU can and it should lead the way in finding new and really innovative ways to fund our universities.
Great. Thank you, Heidi. The next question is, selecting the next president of the University of Colorado has long-term consequences. How important is it that they share your political affiliation? Heidi, we'll start with you.
So let me start out by saying that I think President Benson is doing a terrific job, and I support him staying at CU for as long as he wants to stay. He's one of the most energetic, bright, sharp guys I've ever met in my entire career, and he's an incredible fundraiser as well. If I'm fortunate enough to be elected and we have to choose a successor to President Benson, then party affiliation will be the least important consideration. I'll be looking for someone who loves CU, who can build on the great work he's done as president, and who has the management and leadership skills to run a public university with a $3.5 plus billion budget. Not many other college presidents have faced the funding challenges we've dealt with at CU. And you look at the success that Senator Hank Brown and businessman Bruce Benson have shown, it's a good indicator that the next leader will be chosen for their ability to lead, not what their politics are or their industry is. High on the list of qualities I think we should look for is the ability to work with the governor and state legislators and the ability to fundraise and cultivate relationships with donors. They should have demonstrated how to build a successful team of top administrators that will be responsible for their actions too. All of these qualities are ones that we found in both Senator Hank Brown and President Bruce Benson. It might be important to find a leader as well that is confident enough to not need the protection of a contract with the issues around the contracts at the university as well. But again, I don't think they have to share my political affiliation, as that is not how I judge people or how we should teach our students to view their counterparts. I think we should select the most qualified person for the job who has the best interest for the university in mind and who's able to not only set the vision for our school, but lay out the framework and game plan to see it to fruition.
Thank you, Heidi. Alice, in selecting the president, it obviously has long-term consequences. How important is it that they share your political affiliation?
It should not matter at all. Can you imagine if in a job interview you were asked what your party affiliation is? It should not and it cannot be a litmus test. Unfortunately, the Board of Regents has been in control by Republicans since 1979, and their history has been choosing very publicly identified Republicans who have done a good job. And I would agree that President Benson has done a good job. But it does send an odd message to everyone else that only Republicans get to be president of the university. It has had some repercussions at the legislature. And unfortunately, we've had histories where all of our colleges have been forced into food fights to battle over these slim funds. So I don't think it should be divided into who is a Republican, who is a Democrat, who is a Green Party, who is anything. It's been highly disruptive, I would say, on a number of occasions in the past. Although Bruce Benson, I would say, absolutely has done a good job and has put his partisan past behind him. But I think far more important, the experience would help them run a world-class institution with over 30,000 employees, educating 65,000 a year over four campuses, and sharing the same priorities that the board majority does, managing expenditures and costs, fundraising skills, working with the Colorado Commission on Higher Education and the governor, and that's where politics in the past have interfered. Wanting to be a fierce advocate for academic freedom, strong commitment to managing access from all of our high school students, working with our K-12 partners to make sure that happens. Because despite anyone's family income, any student who works hard enough should be able to attend CU if they choose to. So I think those are the priorities that I would want a president to have. And, you know, the issue around diversity, that definitely comes from the top. The president makes a priority. He or she lets the chancellors know, the chancellors let the department heads know, and that's where these issues and problems have to be dealt with, is from the top. So I think in the future, when there is a successor to Bruce Benson, I think we can do a little bit of a reset around what will our priorities be for the future.
Okay, thank you. So, Alice, I'll have you go first for this question. It's getting a little bit more into some details regarding the role of a region and what they have influence on. College is a place where individuals come to learn about themselves and engage in conversation about their views and beliefs. As a regent, how will you ensure that CU is a university that is committed to freedom of inquiry and expression?
I think this is incredibly important. College should be a place where students are exposed to new ideas, new people in their lives. No opinion should ever be suppressed. This is part of your growth, to be exposed to all different kinds of people and beliefs. We're not doing students any favors if they're taught by people who all think the same. The president's office, the chancellors, and the department heads should know that priority. The one note I will make, though, is in the sciences, however, political views should not enter that realm at all. We had a very chilling experience in the past month or so. One of the regents used his political ideology to threaten three professors at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs. And this is a very loose quote, but very, very close. He said he wanted to investigate these three professors for indoctrinating students around climate change. That a statement like that should never be made. It was very public. He did end up backing off. I think he realized that was not the right thing to say. But think about that for a moment, that one of our leaders, one of the members of the governing board, threatened to investigate professors around climate change. So I think we should have diversity of political thought, freedom of speech, but freedom of fact is a little different. So keep political ideologies out of the scientific realm.
Okay, thank you. So, Heidi, as a region, how will you ensure that CU is a university that is committed to freedom of inquiry and expression?
Well, I'm pulling from my previous years of running organizations and nonprofits, and I think you do that by building a culture of teaching students how to think, not what to think. I think President Benson uses that sometimes, and I really like that. And I sent my daughter, Tori, to Oregon to think, to learn how to think, not what to think. And it's very important to me as a parent that happens in her education. I think they should hear all sides of an issue, no matter how many people think it's settled, and let them make up their own mind. I think every part of our campuses should be free speech zones, and feisty debate should always be encouraged. That's what we want our kids to learn, how to, you know, learn what their values are, where their compass is. And in the classroom, I think students should feel very welcome to share differing philosophies and ideological views. Sorry, tongue-tied. I'm proud of the student government at CU Boulder's recent resolution that they came out with, that every square inch of campus is a free speech zone. I think that's a great statement to come from our student body at CU Boulder. I think they recognize how important it is too. And I do think it's also important to preserve academic freedom for our faculty so that they can research and teach without any fear of negative reactions. I think that's just as critical.
Thank you. And thank you for trying to stay on time. We do appreciate that. The next question will go to Heidi. In the state of Colorado, the existence of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, also known as TABOR, is restricting a lot of funding for education. As regent, what policy plans do you have in response to dealing with this issue?
So, Michelle, there are a number of things which limit the amount of the state budget, which the legislature actually has control over. And the CU Board of Regents doesn't have lawmaking powers. Those reside with the legislature, and issues put on the ballot to be voted on by citizens of Colorado. There's something I want to say about TABOR, though. It was a measure passed by voters which said if you're going to increase taxes or increase spending, you can do it, but you need to ask the voters first. It was meant to be put a check on career politicians and political insiders so they didn't have a blank check with the state's finances, and I think it's worked well in that regard. On the whole, I think that's a sensible thing, and I think it's one of the reasons why the Colorado state economy is doing so much better than so many other states. I do not want to skirt TABOR and go around the voters to reclassify the hospital provider fee. I want to put it to a vote of the people of Colorado. And I'm proud to live in a state that always puts the voter, the people of Colorado, first. And then if they decide that's the right thing to do, then I am all for it.
Okay, thank you. Alice, what are your thoughts on perhaps some policy matters that could be taken on as a regent regarding the TABOR funding issue?
Sure. Over the last 2 years, there was a bipartisan effort with business leaders, elected officials, every aspect of the economy you can imagine, people who work in the tourism industry, all working on an effort to address part of the TABOR amendment, which covers the revenue limit. So Heidi mentioned having to vote to raise taxes, and I believe that will be in our Constitution for a long, long time. The aspect that's been more troubling was the little-known TABOR revenue limit. Basically, think if you got a raise, and you worked hard to get a raise, but you didn't get to keep it. And over this huge population growth we've had in Colorado, it has really become a stranglehold. So it literally means even though your revenues, your state is doing great, you don't get to keep that money on your state needs. So that is a huge problem. So I hope that this bipartisan effort continues to come up with a solution to that. The solution they had been talking about was doing a 10-year timeout so we can grow and catch up to our population. I would absolutely support that. The hospital provider fee, which Heidi just mentioned that she wouldn't want to pass, President Benson actually testified for that. Over 300 organizations, including almost every other college, once that bill passed. It will be Senate Bill 1, and I think the regents should pass a resolution and support it. $700 million. So we can either say, no, we're going to just shrink state support, under 4% to CU Boulder's campus, well under 8 and 9% to Colorado Springs and Denver, and under 4% to the medical school. Again, 48th in state funding. I don't think that reflects the Colorado's values, and absolutely I think the hospital provider fee, which has been proven to have nothing to do with TABOR, should be passed, and that bipartisan will from the colleges across the entire
okay.
They should be really respected.
Okay.
Again, they can't double their tuition like CU did. They don't get the huge grant money. This is really kind of, what they will continue to survive on. So I think it's a very short-term, narrow, politically driven decision to oppose it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I also just want to give a quick reminder, because we have so many questions, I want to be respectful, and if we could stay within our two-minute limits. And so just move forward. Colorado's fiscal contribution to the CU system has slid to about 5%. What can and should be done to either increase that contribution or declare independence and become a private university? And if the option, and if other options on the table were for the university to forego state support in favor of increased autonomy, would you take it? And let's start with you, Alice.
You know, CU was, I'm going to start with the fact that, you know, the question about privatizing CU. CU actually existed before Colorado became a state. I think CU was created about 6 months before we became a state. We elect our governing board. There's no indication that this, there's a chance that this would become a private institution. I think people would be very, very upset about that. And you can't just declare it, for one. You know, it's you would have to address constitutional issues. You know, I mentioned before that I think the state budget is a moral document that reflects your values. We're 48th in state funding. I just do not think that that is what the people of Colorado want. I think that they will want to reinvest in higher ed. And when we cut funding to CU, it wasn't just the tuition that doubled across the whole state. We cut scholarships. We cut loan forgiveness plans. For nurses, for example, who worked in rural areas, could have loan forgiveness. I would like to see those reinstated. So, again, the hospital provider fee, that $700 million that Bruce Benson supported, that is a big start. So I think we need to really have a serious conversation about what the people of Colorado want, where they see higher education as part of our overall plan. It seems to me, and everyone I've talked to across the state, that they do want to reinvest in higher education, and I hope that we can do that.
Great. Thank you, Alice. Heidi?
So I think declaring independence might sound like an option, but I think in reality it would be very, very difficult. Because the university is addressed in the Colorado Constitution, it would take a vote of the citizens, and it would be extremely complex to privatize CU, like addressing, okay, what about the land that CU sits on? How does that work? You know, I understand that projections show that Medicaid and transportation and K-12 costs in the budget will likely mean continued declining amounts available for higher ed and CU in Colorado. And I understand Alice's take on the Tabor fee, but all I'm asking for is to put it to a vote to the people of Colorado. And again, I think I trust the people of Colorado to make the right decision. And I trust that, you know, they do want to invest in higher education, but I think it's the right thing to do to let them decide. I also, rather than talk of privatizing CU, I would work with the administration to make the case that the state legislature and the governor should have less direction and control over CU when some funding is so low. Over the last 7 years, there's many examples of the legislature and the governor working in a nonpartisan way to make changes to Colorado laws, which assist CU and all of higher ed. And I think many of the Regent board members have helped to make that happen. You know, I think CU is a really bright light in our state and contributes so much to the citizens of Colorado. I think we can find a way to work with what we receive from the state and, of course, work to get more funding from the state, but fund our future in an innovative way like tech transfer, the tech transfer program, community and business partnerships, and continuing to drive the fundraising efforts, which are going so well. You know, I think it's going to take a combination of all of those things.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so our next question, sexual assault has been a rising subject statistic on campuses. What can be done to make our campuses safer? Let's start with you, Heidi.
Oh, boy. That's a very personal issue for me. You know, I'm trying to be a leader in this effort around the state with my nonprofit Moms Fight Back, and I'm also on the Governor's School Safety Committee where we talk a lot about this issue. And I certainly want to make sure that we're doing all we can to keep our students safe on all the campuses. I'm sure you guys know about the recent CU Boulder survey that showed that 28% of students had been sexually assaulted and 92% didn't report when it happened. And that's heartbreaking. So I think this is going to take a collaborative effort between all the departments at CU that address this, OVA, Title IX, campus police, housing, the Greek system, and work very closely with local law enforcement and the DA's office. I mean, prosecution rates are dismal in sexual assault, and colleges across America are really struggling with how best to tackle this critical issue and deal with Title IX. There's technology we can look into help us as well. There's a new program called Callisto. It's an anonymous reporting website that's being tested at University of San Francisco and DU that's very innovative and is working very well so far. And then there's Revelar, which is a company that started right here in Colorado by a 25-year-old whose sister was sexually assaulted at school in Florida. And that's a really neat device that provides a way to alert your friends or authorities with a GPS location if you feel threatened or in danger. So you think of the apps that are doing that, but it's really hard to get your phone out and have it ready if anything happens. So this is just a tiny little device that fits on you. So at MomSite Back, we've also launched a class called Campus Defense that students can take to learn how to deal with conflict in dangerous situations and also help their friends that are in those situations. So I think that's another way we can tackle this. I'm pretty confident I can bring the right people together to take this on. And I think CU should lead the way in creating a really safe, supportive atmosphere for our students to learn. All of our students deserve to be safe in order to get a great education.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And so, Alice, how can we make our campuses safer from sexual assaults?
This is probably the area where Heidi and I completely agree, and I appreciate her dedication to this. My entire career, I've been working with women and children and trying to make sure that they are safe and can prosper. I've done a lot of pro bono work with domestic violence victims, victims of sexual harassment. I've seen what's happened to women when this has been allowed to happen. It affects their entire life. So I'll just add just a few things. Heidi hit on a lot of really wonderful things. Really making sure we have victims assistance, strong victims assistance, because once this happens to you, again, it can affect the rest of your life, every relationship you have. And so that's incredibly important. One thing that's been successful at other schools is to create a central hub of information. So every professor, every teacher, every student knows, okay, here's the number, and I can call that, I can go to this office and I can get the help, or I can help my friend get the help that she needs. The other thing that I think has been really, two things that have been really depressing and hard on young women, to see the varying degrees of punishment that have happened to people who have assaulted women. So we have a young black man who got assaulted a woman and he got 15 years in jail. You have a white man who assaulted a woman and he gets an ankle bracelet and 6 months probation. So I think it would be important to work with the Prosecutors Association, work with the Bar Association, and really have some training about what are the punishments that are appropriate for these sorts of things, and that how race should not come into that, and really view this as, you know, a level playing field. And so people will know that if I do this, I'm going to go to jail. I mean, I think that message has to come across. And lastly, unfortunately, in our presidential race, we've really heard some demeaning things about women. And I just don't want our young women to get down or ever think that they are not empowered to say no and to seek help and stand up for themselves.
Okay. Thank you, Alice. And so our next question, we'll start with Heidi, is what are your views on internationalizing across the CU system? Are undergraduate students being adequately prepared for the globalized world in which they will be living and working?
Thanks, Johnny. Well, I think our students should definitely understand how markets, economies, and cultures interact with each other. But I think this is one of those things that's best left to the faculty and the administrators to decide at what level they want to address this or integrate this into their programs. If there is a demand and students are interested, then the university will adjust and the program will adjust and offer more of this. So, you know, I trust the leaders of the different departments around CU to figure out what the right amount of internationalization is at their program.
Okay, thank you.
Alice?
So I think this is an incredibly important thing. I mean, we do want our students to graduate and have the skills they need to work in a global economy. That helps them have a good job, pay off their loans. I think that's part of making sure that we offer a full educational experience. One of the ways you do that is having international students their fellow students can know and work with and understand various cultures, having international faculty exchanges. I mean, I think that is a great way, again, to just expose people to different ideas and be perhaps willing to go off and do work in another country. We have an amazing Peace Corps presence at CU, and I really feel good about what CU does to really prepare students to not only work with, but perhaps consider working in other countries. I think we're on a pretty good track there. Then again, you know, a large part of that is curriculum-based. Where it's not particularly curriculum base that Regents would have a say is the number of international students that we can have on campus, and I hope that that does stay high.
Thank you.
Or high.
Thank you. So I just want to remind everyone on the phone call that these questions were submitted by CU advocates across the state, and they do no way and reflect any of the positions or beliefs of the University of Colorado. So the next question, Alice, will have you answer. Do you think regents should be elected on a partisan ballot?
You know, I've discussed this a number of times, and I got kind of bashed for saying that I wish it wasn't partisan, but I wish it wasn't. But you know what it is? We're one of four states that elect our regents: Nevada, Nebraska, Michigan, and Colorado. CSU is appointed. Almost other, that's the way other boards across the nation are appointed, usually by the governor with a rule in place that no more of, let's say, three people of a certain party can be on it. So they're always bipartisan boards. That's when you leave it as we have it, there is not necessarily that balance, and that's the will of the voters, and I'm happy to live with that. It does make it, you're running in an election year, so politics comes into it more than I would like, and I think that's just the way it is when you're running, particularly in a presidential year. It gets tied to your race, and I just try to keep talking about the policies that will affect CU and not necessarily what else is going on in this crazy election time.
Thank you. Heidi?
Yeah, I took the question a little bit differently, more about not necessarily the partisan side of it, but whether they should be elected or appointed. And I like the system we have where voters get to decide who serves on the board of CU. I think CU is such an important part of our Colorado economy that I think voters feel really good about having a say in it, especially since it's the third largest employer in the state. CU is one of the most important and most trusted public institutions in the state, and I think a big reason for that trust is that CU is directly accountable to the public. CU doesn't hide behind the governor's office or the state legislature, because if we did that, we'd be handing control of the university over to kind of the political insiders. And I think the voters, from what I've heard around the state, really appreciate that we are one of the only states that gets to elect our regents. And honestly, the region board's been elected for 140 years and is part of the state constitution. And looking at where CU is today, it served us really well. Members that I've talked to on the board have described that like 95% of the issues that come before the board, there's definitely agreement. And it's the other 5% where there's philosophical difference or party differences that come up. And that's usually what the media likes to jump on and make a big issue out of. So on the whole issue of partisanship, I think the voters are the best judge. If someone runs a campaign that's too partisan, the voters probably won't respond too well. And, you know, candidates are also free to run as independents if they want to, too. So I think it's a good system, and I support it the way it is.
Great. Thank you. The next question, Heidi, will go to you. Should the senior administration, up to and including the chancellors and president, have the credentials of a professor, such as a doctorate degree?
Well, I just want the best qualified people in senior leadership positions at CU. And I think you'll find that people with professorships and PhDs are also some of the best qualified people out there. But at the same time, I don't think you should overlook people who may have demonstrated some great leadership qualities in other institutions besides academia. And I mean, look at Bruce Benson. He got his geology degree from CU. He had a very successful business career and did a lot of work in charity, philanthropy, and public service. And, you know, some people said that didn't qualify him to be president, but look at the great job he's done and the amazing turnaround he's done for CU since the 90s with everything that happened back then with the scandals and, you know, a lot of issues. So, you know, I think it's certainly a consideration, but it doesn't have to be the end-all be-all.
Great. Alice?
I would agree with what Heidi said. I think the best people for these jobs are often going to have higher level degrees, particularly for a truly academic position like a provost or a chancellor. The presidents in the past have not always had higher or I think most have, except for Benson has his undergrad degree from CU, and he has done a good job. He's been there for 10 years now. He's done a good job. So I don't think it really particularly matters. You just look for the best person. But I do think, you know, running four campuses, over 30,000 people, that takes a unique skill set. So I want to make sure that we always search and hire for the premier employees to run this campus into the future. And again, I want to give one example around diversity. I work at the CU Law School. The CU Law School recently hired a new dean. The finalists were the most diverse set of finalists that CU has ever had across any search. They hired a Native American man. The other two finalists, one was a Black woman, one was a Hispanic woman. This, again, this is an incredibly important issue to me, that we really search out, cast a wide net, and make sure we improve diversity, not just in the student body, but also staff and leadership of the university.
Great. Thank you, Alice.
Okay. And so we're moving on to our final question, just in respect of time, and then after this we'll go to the closing statements. So the final question, and we'll start with Alice, is at CU Denver, there's currently a population of undocumented students. Do you believe that the university system should at all prioritize any funding or programs for aid to these students?
So I support in-state tuition for our Dreamers, and I think that we should, as a state, I think that was a good law to pass, and I'm really proud of the fact that we see these students as part of our community that deserve to be educated. If they work hard and earn it, I think by all means they should be on our campus. So, as far as the university system prioritizing it and funding it, I think they should have equal footing to apply for scholarships like any other student would. But I think it was important that we were able to give them in-state tuition.
Thank you. Heidi?
Johnny, well, I'm pretty sure the university is probably doing everything they can possible to help students that have limited means, regardless of their citizenship or immigration status. I'd have to look into it further, and honestly, I'd probably defer to the department heads and the heads of diversity if this is an issue, or the chancellors at the various campuses. But I'm not sure it makes sense to create a whole new special program. Like Al said, I think it's just make sure that they're supported and they get the support that they need. The help that we provide students from poor or non-English speaking families might cover that too, I would hope. Yes, I do think it's important.
Okay, great. Well, this leaves just the right amount of time for closing comments. And we did not get to all of our questions, but we got to the majority of them. And Alice, in your closing comments, one question that did come up, if you'd like to talk about some of the media on the potential conflict of interest regarding your position at the law school, just about recusing yourself from matters that would pertain to the law school, if perhaps you could address that in your closing statements. That was a question that was posed a couple times. Okay, so we'll start with Heidi for closing statements.
Hey, thanks, Michelle. Well, and thanks again for doing this. I think this is going to be a fantastic way for voters to get to know us a little bit better. And thanks, Alice. This has been great, too. I really appreciate you participating as well. I love the saying, you should be the change you want to see in the world. And that's basically why I chose to run for CU Regent, because I absolutely believe that education is the key to keeping our American dream alive. And, I mean, as far as what that looks like in the day-to-day of being a regent, if I was elected, I want to continue to work with and build relationships with the state legislature in order to maximize state funding. And I'm really proud of the work I've done on the Governor's School Safety and Youth in Crisis Committee. I've built strong relationships with many of the state leaders, and I hope that would help me in my role as regent, too. I'll also work to continue the momentum that we have, breaking records the last few years for bringing in donations and building relationships with alumni and our community to fund CU and make up for the lack of state funding. I love working on that, and that's why I'm on the Trustee Engagement Committee and involved at the CU Foundation Board. I'll also build bridges between businesses in our university and communities across the state. I think this will help create jobs and bring research dollars to CU, and I'll coordinate with the student government leaders to use our student fees more efficiently and help however I can there to drive down those costs as well. I'll work to leverage technology to drive down costs for students and make it easier for students in rural areas to have access to our university. And I'll push to make transferring into our university easier with credits that come and go with you. I'll also work with K-12 leaders in our state, which I already do on several boards, to prepare high school students better so they don't have to take remedial classes, and saving them from unnecessary debt. I'll tackle campus safety, like sexual assault and violence, using my experience building Moms Fight Back. And I understand the history and importance of shared governance as well, and I'll continue to make that a priority. Finally, I'll work hard to preserve academic freedom and freedom of speech on all our campuses. And again, thank you for inviting me to share my vision for CU. And if anyone wants more information, they can go to HeidiGanahl.com or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we have a lot of fun there following on the campaign trail.
Thank you, Heidi. Alice?
Again, thank you all for doing this. It's been really interesting, and I've enjoyed it, and I'm glad that a lot of folks could call in and listen to us today and give their questions. So, and if anyone has more questions for me, I'm at Madden, the number 4, CU, at gmail.com. Please email me. So, you know, I think Heidi and I agree on a lot. There's a lot of overlap, but I think the big difference is really kind of continuing the status quo or looking for a reboot when we have a succession plan for Bruce Benson. How are we going to bring CU into the future? Tuition cannot keep increasing. Our expenditures cannot keep increasing. The status quo has to change. And I think a new set of leadership with a new set of priorities is what is needed to wrangle this tuition issue, to stop the backbreaking debt on our students, our generation, and to really address the cost. $5 million on marketing, I know sometimes that those expenditures are worthwhile, but examining the actual return on investment, I think, needs to take a hands-on approach on the regions. And the regions, frankly, have not. They have not wrangled the cost issue at all. So I think that's something we need to take more responsibility around. You know, I work at the law school. I'm proud of that. I think it gives me a great perspective into the university. I've advocated for the university as a legislature. Of course, I've been a student there, and I worked at the law school previously, CU Denver as well, and taught. So that unique, well-rounded view of the university, I think, actually helps me be a much better regent. I met with legal counsel about would there be any conflict of interest, and I was actually very surprised that he said how little he thought there might even be a chance of it. Certainly not anything around the budget or the law school. Those are big, large macro votes on the budget on campus. But perhaps if a law professor was getting tenure, that I would recuse myself. Every board has potential conflicts, and as a legislator, I analyzed whether I had any potential conflicts. My reputation has never been called into question on that. I don't have a problem recusing myself from a tenure vote, of course. And I would talk to legal counsel that represents the region president's office if they ever thought there was an issue, and I would follow that advice. And those types of votes aren't, you know, those are unanimous votes anyway. So recusing myself on a vote is not, I cannot foresee that it would ever actually mean that, you know, the board ties or something like that. So I think my experience in the law school is actually a benefit, and I understand what students' day-to-day life is, the faculty day-to-day life, and our graduate students who are struggling to even make a living in Boulder and Denver. So I'm really proud of my history with the university, and I want to keep giving and serving the entire university community.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for giving up a part of your beautiful Sunday to share with us to inform and educate our CU advocates around the state. Johnny and I are very grateful for your participation and for all those who have called in. And we wish both of you candidates the best of luck come November 8th. Take care,
Thanks,
everyone.
Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Go Buff.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
University of Colorado.